This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 30th, episode 1807, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it's your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. Jamie, where? I expected an Irish accent.
I could definitely give you one, because much like Australia and England, I've completed the transition. So I can actually speak Irish now fluently.
Okay.
And
they've
had
sure.
no problem with it. You know, it's just amazing. But it is funny, some of the things. I think the one thing that bothered Chad the most was, first of all, they drive on the other side of the road. Number one. And number two, everything in the car is reversed. So he was driving, and you can't afford to get an automatic transmission because they just know they see you coming. So you have to get a stick shift. So Chad was driving stick on the wrong side of the car, and the stick shift was in his left hand.
That would be weird. Yeah, that would be weird.
I said, you're left-handed. You'll be fine.
You didn't drive, did you?
Oh, God, no. I sat in that passenger seat, and I was like, okay, you're going to turn up here and stay in the left lane.
The turning's the hardest part, isn't it? That's the hardest part, because you really have to think about it.
You said the hardest part was when you were, like, coming around a corner, and there was a car in the right lane coming at you, and he's like, oh! But I think the hardest part was getting fuel. Because it's not gas, and it's not, okay, so the cars are either diesel or petrol. So you are going to put diesel or petrol. So you have to say, give me 20 euro worth of petrol, please, because you have to pay ahead of time. So then the petrol is not the diesel, is the green pump. So he's like, I just feel really weird about putting the green pump into the car.
Because all of us diesel owners over the years have been taught, God, don't put gas in your diesel. That'll cost you about $6,000.
Oh, God. I did that once, and it was $1,800. I'll never get back. So, yeah. So it's a terrible. I think that was the most confusing thing. But, you know, a couple things. Like, one night we were, they say things like, we're out last night, half until 6 this morning, I'm wrecked. Wait, what? Oh, you were half until 6. Okay, so that's 5:30. And so the time thing doesn't make sense, you know? And different words like chips. You want chips? Sure. Bag of chips would be fine. No, that comes as french fries. They love french fries over there. There was just so many fun things that were so interesting and different.
Did you not understand half of them? Because some of those Irish accents are really, really, really thick.
I think that I did okay unless they were talking to each other. It's like they dumb it down for Americans when they talk, and they talk slower like this, and then everything sounds like it's a question, and then you have to have, what are you saying, huh? Everything is like very lilting and slow, and then they talk to each other, and I feel like, where are we? What country are we in?
And I imagine it gets thicker the more alcohol that's consumed.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to tell you a story. I saw this guy in a pub. And it is a pub in Galway. And he looked so familiar. I mean, I'm like, that's the guy. That's the guy from Game of Thrones. And his name is Tormund in Game of Thrones.
Oh, the red-haired guy you posted a picture with? Yeah.
Because first of all, I saw Ed Sheeran 127 times. Because Everybody looks like Ed Sheeran over there. I'm like, there's Ed Sheeran. There's Ed Sheeran. There's Ed Sheeran. And so I kept seeing him. So then I'm like, I saw Tormund. I'm like, there's the guy from Game of Thrones. And I walk up to him in the pub and I'm like, hey, can I get my picture with you? And he's like, sure. Turns around, takes a picture, walks off. I'm like, why was he so comfortable with me taking his picture? Like, he didn't even think twice about it, Glenn. He just let me take his picture like it was an everyday occurrence. And then I'm like, oh my God, maybe it is Tormund. I just was going to, I thought it was funny. I'm like, that's him. And Chad and I are looking, I'm Googling pictures. And he's like, he goes, I don't know. I don't think so. So then I've had another pint and I go up to him again and I'm like, hey, ask you a question. Why on earth were you so comfortable with me taking your picture? Like, I'm a stranger in a bar. And he was like, well, I work here. And I'm sorry. That still does not explain to me why you're comfortable with me taking your picture. And his friends, it's like a group of Irishmen that I'm chatting with. His friends go, oh, didn't you see him in that Sharon video? I was like, what? So apparently Ed Sheeran, Galway Girl, they filmed in this bar and that's like the star of the video. I was like, oh, right. Okay. So I thought you were somebody else famous, not the famous guy that you actually are. So thanks for the photo. And they all look like, and like all those Irish look like. I'm so racist. They all look like.
Yep. They have red hair and beards and stuff. Yeah. Well, I can't wait to hear more about it. We're going to hear all about Jamie's trip coming up. But Jennifer is going to tell us what is coming up on today's show.
I can't fit it all in. Coming up on today's show, Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition. Monday, Jamie, obviously, is back from Ireland. And she is going to share with us today her falconry school adventures, complete with awesome Irish accents, and we get to hear all about the personalities of the Hawks. And then mid-show, we're going to take a little break and have a chat with the creative brain behind budgetequestrian.com. That would be Lisa Goodwin. And then after the break, we're going to go back to Ireland for a chat with part of the staff from the Grayla Harriers, that I'm sure I pronounced it
Graia.
Wrong, staff.
Graia.
Graia Harriers.
Graia Harriers.
See about all that adventure. And whether or not Jamie got tossed into the dirt. And Leslie Wiley is going to stop by and compare notes. So stay tuned for the fray notes, folks.
I think Leslie wants to know if you got as dirty as she did. That's the only question she wants answered.
All she cares about.
She just doesn't want to be that girl and you're not. So, all right, well, we'll hear more about that. Also, I got to talk to you a little bit about your flight over because you got to experience something not many of us will. So. Well, my Daily Winnie is one of these. Two of our auditors got married over the weekend, Jamie, Beth, and Matt, and they got married to each other. So we had auditors getting married to each other. Beth and Matt, congratulations.
Can you please tell me that they met because they were both auditors?
No, I don't think they did. Oh. No, I don't think they did. I don't think we've had one of those yet. But, you know, time will tell. Maybe it'll happen. Congratulations, guys.
So being gone for 9 days to leave your farm, that's pretty intense. To leave somebody in charge of your home. Well, Rhonda is my dear farm sitter, and she also leases Thor, so she stayed over. And, you know, of course, Abby, my little teenage friend here, she stayed pretty much the whole time, too. So I've got Rhonda and Abby, and I would like to thank them. And Jennifer, you can open your email because you can post a picture. I would like to thank them for Trooper. So Rhonda and Abby are out riding 3 days ago. 3 days ago. And a little guy comes into the arena and apparently plops himself down in the sand. There is a Jack Russell Terrier that has taken up residence at my home while I was out of town.
Chad can't even blame you for that one.
so, yeah, exactly. I didn't do it. He was just here. He was here. And so Rhonda and Abby, they said he just kind of showed up, like came down into the arena and laid down in the sand. And he's obviously senior and he's obviously very skinny, but he has a black collar on. So they tell me about this while I'm in Europe. Actually, they didn't tell me about it. They sent a picture of the horses and I was like, who's that? wait, I see something that's not normal. And they were like, oh, well, that's a trooper. I'm like, and who's trooper? well, he kind of lives here now.
Trooper doesn't have a home. Sorry. Trooper must have a home somewhere.
So when I saw that, I started the social media fire of like, okay, dog, there's a dog. Because I bought the package of the, you know, the international package. So I was
wondering
posting,
how you were sending us files.
Yeah, I'm sending files from like in the middle of anywhere. And so I'm posted on, oh my gosh, 10 different neighborhood pages and Craigslist and all these places trying to find little troopers owners. And he's nothing. Like, I wanted him gone by the time I got home because, you know, I'm going to get home and I'm gonna be like, oh my God, he's so cute and he's so sweet. So I was really interested in finding him his owners and nothing. I've posted him everywhere, Glenn, pictures and descriptions and everything. And nobody has come forward. I've not seen one sign.
Did
not
you,
one
did you have
dog.
Him microchipped? Did you have that?
We're having him scanned today. Yeah. I found somebody in the neighborhood who has one because the vet is like, you know, half an hour away. Anyway, so this dog is here and I come home last night. Yesterday afternoon, and the dog is here, and Chad's of course like, I can't believe there's another dog in this house. Poor dogs. This ridiculous.
And the worst part is he can't blame you.
Well, guess who loves the fruit? Guess who slept in our bed last night? We have not had a dog in our bed in our entire marriage. And this Jack Russell Terrier is in the bed under the covers like he owns the joint. I could not believe it. Chad's like, I kind of like him. This is like, he's like, I really like this dog. And my husband's not a dog person. He's like, this dog is like, he goes, can we trade two of ours and keep him? So... unless we find him a home and welcome to the family. By the way, at some point in the middle of the night, I got up to check on Lucas because he was like having a bad dream and he has night terror. So I go in there and Trooper is gone from our bed when I get back. And I came in this morning and he's sleeping in bed with Lucas.
Of course he is. Because he knows how to play the game.
He is like playing it hardcore. Yeah.
He's
the chillest Jack Russell. He's got to be older. I mean, he's got the gray face. So I just emailed Jennifer a picture. So if you want to post that on Horses in the Morning or whatever and show everybody a little trooper who.
Now, how many dogs will that be? Because I want to see if you cross the line.
No, there's just four. Oh. And Lucas says that.
Four is the line, you know. Five, you're a crazy dog lady.
Lucas says, Mama, we need four dogs. I'm 4 years old. I was like, that makes logical sense.
Like, when he's 10, you're going to have 10 dogs?
That makes sense to me. You're speaking my language, then.
You're going to be in Courtney territory here soon. Be careful. Well, we do have a birthday. Speaking of being how many years old, I didn't forget it this year. You didn't forget it this year. We actually are acknowledging our birthday this year. We've forgotten it almost every other year. And what I'm talking about is on November 1st, on Wednesday, we will have an episode. And that is our birthday episode. We'll be 7 years old, going into our 8th year here on Horses in the Morning.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
We started November 1st, 2010. So we would love for you to, if you want to send us birthday wishes, we want to play them on the air on Wednesday. You can do that one of two ways. Record them on your phone and email them to jemmy@horseradionetwork.com and she'll process them for us. Or you can just call our voicemail line and leave a voicemail, 859-474-0261. Doesn't have to be anything fancy, but if you want to be on the air Wednesday, do that. It's J E M M Y@horseradionetwork.com or 859-474-0261. Also on Wednesday, Scott from the Pollock Report and Around the Track podcast will join us to take our look at the Breeders' Cup. Hey, that's coming up, Jamie, this weekend. Believe it or not.
I'm so excited.
I know. It's boy, we haven't talked about it and all of a sudden it's here.
I know. We've both been a little preoccupied with hurricanes and vacations and trips and all sorts of nonsense.
Yeah. So, and also, Radiothon announcement. We'll start talking about Radiothon on Wednesday as well. You guys need to start getting your entries in mind and start getting them into us. They'll be all due by the 15th. We will have over $4,000 in prizes that you can win that day by submitting entries. So, we'll be doing all of that. Well, later on in the show, Jamie's going to talk about her hunting adventure. When Leslie's here, we thought it'd be fun that the two of them could compare notes. But right now, you're going to tell us about one of the other fun things you did while in Ireland.
It was amazing. Just so you know, I did go at the end of our trip. Our last thing we did was go to the Irish National Stud in Kildare, and that place is amazing. And I would like to get involved and let my country pay for my stud farm. That would be awesome. So we did do that, and there are going to be some pictures. If you are interested in finding out more,
you didn't bring one home in your suitcase, right?
Oh my God, no! But it's a little mini Lexington in Kildare, and the place is amazing. So if you are interested in that, let me know, and I'll tell you all about it. Anyway, so there's a place we stayed. Basically, what Chad and I did was we rented a car. We got to Dublin, spent the night, and rented a car and just started driving around the country. And aside from Wednesday fox hunting, we had nothing planned.
Oh, really?
Wow. So, yeah.
A freestyle. Like, you went freestyle.
Well, I have our Airbnb on my phone. And so I'm like, well, let's just cruise and catch things that we want to see on the way. And there's a place called Ashford Castle in Cong. And it turns out Cong, Ireland, is where they filmed a John Wayne movie that nobody forgets, because there's statues of John Wayne in this little town in Ireland. And the movie was called
I didn't even know he left the country to do any movies. I thought he recorded them all in Arizona.
Well, you would think. But apparently he was a boxer and he retired and went to Ireland. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie, but we watched a preview while we were just there and on YouTube. And he basically goes to grab this lady, Maureen O'Hara, and the Irish guy goes, "No, you can't hit her yet. You have to marry her first. Then you can hit her." I was like, oh my God, this is like a real thing. This is what's going on in this movie. So the whole town is dedicated to the quiet man. And there's John Wayne's statue carrying Maureen O'Hara. It was really, really cool. And so we went there and we just decided we were going to drink Guinness in as many small towns as we could. And we ended up staying there. And Ashford Castle is this giant castle that they've remade into a first-class place to stay. And it is your full-on Irish vacation, and it is unbelievable all the stuff they do. They have equestrian and then the falconry.
Did you stay in the castle?
God, no, I couldn't afford it.
Oh, okay.
We're doing way too much, but we did stay in a little Airbnb in the area. And in Cong, that was a sheep farm. Rented a house, and it was a sheep farm, and I tried to join up with sheep in the backyard. Another story. Anyway, sheep farm. It was wonderful. We stayed there. Each little town we stayed in, I just tried to find the most random place to stay. We stayed in a tiny house in Doolin, Ireland, a sheep farm in Cong, and then we stayed in somebody's garage apartment one time. We stayed in a loft in Dublin, and the drunk Irishman was downstairs the whole time. Stayed in some loft. We just tried to like completely cover everything, and we stayed in a bed and breakfast one time too. So this was falconry, and so when we got kind of close to it, I was looking up things in the area, and they have falconry, which is called a hawk walk, and you can go and fly hawks off your arms. They teach you how to do this. So it was absolutely incredible. Chad, he was like, "I don't want to do it." I'm like, "You're doing it. We're both doing it." So we both took up these hawks. They got us all situated. And
you know, I thought he'd be the one that would want to do it. A pilot should appreciate flight, right? I mean,
Turns out he really did. All they did was talk about flight patterns and all this, not, you know, and I was like, look at the pretty bird. And he's like, I liked how he tipped left and did up here, you know. My God, you're such a nerd. Anyway, it was awesome. And so the gentleman that took us around, I interviewed him. So here it is. Let's hear a little bit more about the Hawk Walk.
And what part of Ireland was this in?
We are in Cong, Ireland.
Cong, Ireland.
Okay, well, I'm here at the Ashford Castle, and I just completed my first ever hawk walk through the woods. And introduce yourself to everybody listening.
Hi, I'm Connell. I'm one of the falconers here at Ireland School of Falconry. I've been here about 5.5 years, and I just took herself out on her hawk walk with Rua and Cara, two of our 17-year-old Harris hawks. I've been here since day one.
They were born here?
Born in the UK and trained up in Scotland, actually. But then we bring them over from the UK and Ireland. We don't usually breed because we never sell any hawks, which is why we have 17-year-old hawks. we never sell any, so we don't usually breed them ourselves, and we don't have a breeding program. We have bred Millie and Belcher, our two hawks that have been bred here, but we generally get them from the specialist breeders in the UK or in Ireland.
And so a 17-year-old hawk, what is that lifespan? Is that seems fairly senior.
Yeah, they're very senior, all right. They are the old fogies. Our youngest hawks are 5 months old. You can kind of hear them shouting in the background. But 17 is about 7-8 years, maybe past the average life expectancy for a wild Harris hawk, which makes sense because they get 100% guarantee of getting fed, which is basically why they tolerate us as well.
So they're not your friends?
No, definitely not. There's zero loyalty, zero affection, nothing like that. If you want that, you get a dog. If you want this, you get a hawk or a teenager or a cat or something.
Hawk, a teenager or a cat. Now, tell us a little bit about the Ashford Castle.
Ashford Castle, the estate itself originally was a 12th century Anglo-Norman castle. The De Borca family were an Anglo-Norman family who built a series of defensive castles. But most of that castle now is, there's one turret that's 12th century, and that's in the far right corner. But a lot of it's 18th century, 19th century, kind of like a French chateau or an else. So originally it was a defensive-based castle, but now it's a 5-star hotel and gets a lot of traffic coming through now. Red Carnation are the new owners of the castle, and they're doing a good job. It's kind of their pet project, as it were. They have a lot of hotels and all the money, so they're putting a lot into the falconry school and the equestrian center and the grounds and the castle itself. And you can see there's actually a huge improvement in the castle grounds itself. But it's changed hands a lot, from the Guinness family to the Ardalons to builders and conglomerates, and now Red Carnation have it. And it's going nicely anyway, which is good.
So they bought the castle while it was, did they make it into a hotel? I mean, you can do anything here between the equestrian, and there's hiking and the falconry, and there's some other amenities too, right?
Oh, there's a lot to do. There's tree climbing on Monterey Pines, which is called Monty. It's a big, huge tree. There's zip lining, equestrian, horse riding, carts, horse and carts. There's falconry, skeet shooting, boat trips, fishing trips. If you're not into all the organized stuff, there's also beautiful walks, trails, and the village of Cong nearby is actually lovely as well. Even with the eccentric locals, it's a lovely spot to just kind of potter about and have a day of not doing much. And they have a lovely bar as well.
Lovely. That's the most important thing in Ireland is the pub. So I did read that there have been some celebrities that have stayed here at Ashford Castle.
I have, all right. I took one of them on a hawk walk. Lovely man, Ed O'Neill. So I know he's in Modern Family, but I don't watch that. I know him from Married with Children.
Right.
Lovely, lovely man. We've had George R.R. Martin, the man who wrote Game of Thrones. He came and he stayed. And he came for a hawk walk as well. What's her face? Ally McBeal.
Calista Flockhart.
Calista Flockhart and her piscatarian son. Something like that. Anyway, I didn't meet her myself.
How did you know that? How did you know husband? How did you know Calista Flockhart's son? Name. And then did I hear Brad Pitt also stayed here?
Oh, he would have, yeah. Before my time, I think. Brad Pitt and Pierce Brosnan had his wedding here. President Reagan stayed here. A lot of politicians and... Oh, what's her name? That actress. She's an Avenger. The short one.
Jennifer Lawrence.
Scarlett.
No.
Scarlett. Scarlett Johansson. That's the one.
Scarlett Johansson.
That's the one. She didn't come for a hawk walk. Very disappointed about that. I think one of the organizers basically hogged her for most of the time she was here. Like, I'll show you these things.
How'd that work out for him?
Not very well. I don't think his girlfriend didn't bake him out on that evening anyway. He's in the doghouse for a few days. Yeah.
So what is your schedule on a daily basis with all of these hawks?
Yeah, so we generally get in here around 8:45, and we just kind of take a minute to kind of settle in. And around 8:55, 8:50, 9:00, we start weighing every single raptor at the school. We have about 30 Harris hawks, which is our main focus. So every bird, though, needs to be weighed first thing in the morning to find out basically what they're going to do that day, because it's all down to weight control and food intake. But then also any kind of health issues would become more evident depending on weight. If there's a sudden drop in weight, why is there a drop in weight? Also, though, if there's a sudden increase in weight, a drop is more serious, but an increase in weight is not ideal either, because we're monitoring their food intake very closely. Then after that, cleaning everything. When you work with animals, you're going to get a lot of bodily fluids all over.
Everybody that listens here has horses, so
you know my pain, definitely. There's a lot of it. Less heavy than horse leavings, but it's potent, shall I say. So a lot of picking up of stuff, raking, and then assigning food to each bird individually according to their body weight and to their reports from previous days. So Rue and Cara, the hawks we took out, were assigned. Rue was assigned 3.5 ounces of food with a body weight of 2 pounds 4 ounces for her. That's enough to maintain her body weight. So I gave her extra because she was so good. So she got about 3 3/4.
We're best friends, Cara and I.
We got on like a house on fire, I must say. And Cara, we stuffed maybe with 5 to 5.5 ounces, which is maybe a bit too much, but
totally worth it.
She was amazing, depending on how they do. And then you write your I will be writing report cards every time they fly, and then throughout the day you just manage the directions hawk walks are going, because you can't have them clashing. If you manage which hawks are going when and where, because some hawks hate each other. So we don't have Millie and Maya going at the same time, because Millie hates Maya, so they can't fly at the same time.
There's pecking order for horses and hawks at the same time, so it's amazing how you've had to manage and figure out which hawk goes with which neighbor friend. And then, of course, there's the hawk that Chad took out. And tell us about its relationship with the owl in the corner.
Oh, Rua is a 17-year-old Harris, going on 18 now. Maybe she's 18 now. And our owl, Dingle, a European eagle owl, Rua despises him. So we have to cover him up. So when she leaves on hawk walks, if she can see the owl on the way out, she will fly back to try and get at him, to try and kill him, to sort out that problem. The biggest predator of a Harris hawk in the wild would be a great horned owl, something that you're the American equivalent of that type of owl. So it's understandable that she feels under threat by him, but the fact that she has to fly home to try and sort him out is a bit of a pain. But by covering him up, when we first started covering him up, she'd fly back and she'd be up on the roof of the building and looking around. She couldn't see him, so she didn't find any owls. So then eventually now she hasn't done it in a very long time, thankfully, but you do have to play it safe. They're not friends whatsoever. But no other hawk hates him so much as Rua.
Well, as far as if you guys want to come and do this, this was amazing. You'll see all the pictures and videos. Just Google Ashford Castle. It's the Falconry School. I feel like Harry Potter, like I was going to Hogwarts, the Falconry School.
Very soon, in the books now, we have a little entry called Wizard School, where we're going to have big groups of kids all dressed as Harry Potter characters flying hawks through the woods.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm gonna come back.
I do have to confiscate every single bloody wand in that group. I'm be waving them around.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it. And thank you for spending some time with us.
Oh, thank you for handling the birds.
Did you sign up for Harry Potter School?
Oh my God, absolutely. How awesome is that?
Jennifer wants it too.
Now, I was looking at the rates, and you know, you can afford just a small room on a Tuesday night. It's only like €600.
Is that in the attic?
So now they do have the presidential suite as well, which was about €3,000 to €4,000 a night. But I mean, you know, splurge. You only live once.
Well, you know what? You go to a nice hotel at Disney, it's going to cost you $600 a night. So Right?
Why the hell would you spend $600 a night at a hotel at Disney World?
When you're never in it, ever. Well, that was a great interview, by the way. And it's interesting about what I found really interesting about that was weighing them every day.
Every day. And there's some video that I posted on my Facebook page that if you, when they presented us with the Falcon, you know, we had the gloves on that stink like dead baby chickens and just all sorts of grossness. Anyway, so they put you on it and you're in a room and they actually have the weights of all the hawks. Like they weigh them every couple hours. It was amazing just to see where they are. And they weigh them in the morning, you know, before the walk, after the walk, and then at night to see how much they should be feeding them. It's just incredible.
I guess it's the everyday thing that got me about that, you know, not once a week or.
You know. Oh, yeah. Every day, yeah. All the time. They take the place takes immaculate.
And how many did they have?
Care.
A lot. It sounded like a lot. I love the sound, by the way. Did it stink? Because birds are stinky.
No, they're out in these runs and they're tethered to a perch, and there was probably 25 or 30, and then some had their own individual rooms that they were in. And so it's a falconry walk. So all of these birds get walked once or twice a day, if there's people there or not. And so they're always constantly going out and exercising and flying and going through the trees. And he was such an exciting guy because you can clearly tell he loves what he does.
Oh yeah.
He loves the birds and loves, like, oh my gosh, look at that. He just cut him from that tree under the branch. You know? Like, he was so excited. And it was really, really an amazing experience. You know, fox hunting was awesome, but I did not expect this to be as super cool as it was. So I'll post a video on our Horses
definitely
in the
put
Morning
that video.
Facebook page.
Yeah, that one you posted on your page. That was really good.
The slow motion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a
good
one.
This guy's really good too. He's like, I've gotten really good at it. Give me your phones. I'll
take pictures. Bet he has.
And he does this epic slow-mo video of the hawks landing on our hands, the arms. It was unbelievable.
Very cool. Well, that is really neat. Really neat. Well, let's take a break for Omega Alpha. We're going to hear, I know a lot of you are waiting to hear about her fox hunting adventure, and that will happen a little later in the show when we get Leslie on.
Wait.
Yep, we got to hold off a little bit on that one. You got an interview with them, too, so we're going to play that. I assume you got an interview with the master or somebody, so we'll play that later on.
I'm bone connected to the shoulder bone, the shoulder bone connected to the leg bone, the leg bone connected to the foot
bone. The leg bone connected to the foot bone is a humorous reminder of how things are connected and dependent upon each other. But all humor aside, the health of your horse's muscles and bones are key to his overall health and performance. At Omega Alpha Equine, they know just how important your horse's entire musculoskeletal system is to his health and happiness, so they offer a variety of different all-natural liquid supplements. Omega Alpha Equine, all-natural supplements based on science to help all of your horse's connected parts stay healthy and perform at their best. Ask for Omega Alpha Equine supplements at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com.
Well, our first guest up today started posting some videos on how to do things, some kind of DIY videos, and she started a website, and I don't think that she had any idea that it was going to grow to the point it has. She now has over 5,000 subscribers on YouTube and has a ton of videos on there, and we're talking about Lisa Goodwin of Budget Equestrian. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
My God, girl. You've done all right with this video thing.
I love making videos. Can you tell?
Yeah, there's a few on here. I was trying to count how many, and I have no idea. There was just too many to count. But
as of this morning, 282.
Oh, my God. So now, when did you start?
I started this back in, it was 3 years ago. I actually got on YouTube to find out how to build a horse jump. And I found this one video out of all of the videos on YouTube of showing you how to build a horse jump. So I did what they did. And then I was like, huh, I bet I can make some videos showing other people how to build horse jumps, because horse jumps are super expensive to buy.
Yes, they are. And you can make them. I mean, without a whole lot of equipment and stuff, you can actually make them. And a lot of us try, but they don't look like yours. So I'm just going to throw that out there. You did end up, ironically, with a lot of videos on how to make horse jumps, but a ton of other stuff, too. Was the idea, so when you made that first video, did you have budget equestrian in mind?
Nope. When I first started out, I was actually making horse jumps to support my own horse habit. So I started building them because my husband was like, you're not going to make any money doing that. And I'm like, okay, well, let's see. And then I put some ads on Craigslist for horse jumps, and they sold and sold and sold again. So it was very profitable, and it was something fun that I enjoyed doing. And after a while, I was like going, okay, I'm kind of over building horse jumps and horse jumps and horse jumps. So I kind of rethought my process, and Colorado Horse Jumps became the budget equestrian, because I was like, I don't want to just talk about horse jumps. I want to talk about other things that horse people like me could, you know, do on their own time and make some really fun things, and also making the most of the time that they have with their horses.
It's ironic. I know a little bit about horse jumps because my brother was in that business in a big way in the Northeast for 10 years. So, you know, I know a little bit about horse jumps, and yours are very nice looking, though. I was looking at the early days, like years ago, when you posted a bunch of those videos, and they're really nice looking jumps. I can see why you did well with that. But it's hard work and backbreaking.
Yes.
So now you went into other things, and I was watching some of the videos this morning, and you have some really fun things. You've gotten into a lot of different areas here, from food to, I love your unboxing videos because those are always fun too. So how do you, what inspires you? Do you just do whatever you feel like?
I do. I just start making lists in the morning, usually before I get ready for work, of things that would be fun to make videos or just ideas. And then it just kind of, you know, snowballs from there. So I can start with, you know, one or two video ideas that I have for the upcoming week. And by the time I'm done sitting down, I've got like 25 to 30 different videos that I can make.
Well, do you put them on a tripod? Does somebody record for you?
I do. I have a tripod. And when I have to do videos with me with my horses, I sweet talk my husband into coming out for 15 minutes or so. I'm like, can you please just record me just for like 5 minutes? And usually I'm hoping for like 15 to 20 minutes. And usually after about 5 minutes, he's like, all right, is that good? Did we get what we wanted? And I'm like, okay, that's good.
Now, I am a horse husband. Does he think this whole thing's ridiculous, or is he supportive?
No, he's very supportive. We kind of have a competition because he also has a YouTube channel and he has a podcast. So I'm kind of like a guest on his, I'm the comic relief on his podcast.
And well, give a plug for his podcast. What is it?
Oh, his podcast is Survivalist Prepper. Survivalistprepper.net is his website. So he's really into preparedness and, you know, outdoorsy stuff. So, but we both have a very friendly competition to see who has, you know, more subscribers. He's beating me.
He's beating you? Really?
And also videos. He's totally beating me. He has almost 10,000 subscribers.
Oh, come on, horse people. Let's catch up.
Please subscribe.
That's right. Subscribe. Go to Budget Equestrian. Just search for that on YouTube and you'll find it. Where did the unboxings come in? That's a big thing. And kind of explain it for people who have no idea what we're talking about. But it's a big thing. That actually started in the tech world about 20 years ago when videos first started coming on the internet. One of the first things that tech people did was unboxings. And that's when they'd buy a new computer. They'd buy a new Mac. And then they'd open it up and they'd actually video hooking it up and turning it on, and all of that is where unboxings actually started.
That's actually what Lucas, my four-year-old, likes to watch on YouTube, is people opening wrappers of toys.
There you go.
It's a real thing. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it is so popular. People love unboxing videos, and I don't know if it's because they just like to see, you know, the things that you actually buy, because maybe they're considering buying it, or they just like people opening packages and finding out what's inside.
But you know what's inside.
I know what's inside. Sometimes they do. It depends, because like I have two subscription services that I subscribe to, saddlebox.net and Heart to Horse Box.
Yeah, Heart to Horse.
And the Heart to Horse Box, that's a surprise every month because there's no spoilers there. You really don't know what's going to be in the box until you open it. So maybe it's, you know, people want to see, well, maybe I'm thinking about subscribing to one of those monthly subscription boxes. So then they're like, huh, well, maybe this is okay. Maybe I'll give it a go for a month and see. But I don't know. They're very, very popular. And I started it completely on accident. I had subscribed to the Heart to Horse Box and I was like, I wonder if anybody would like to watch a video of me opening this. And so that stuck around and I've been doing that one for over almost 2 years now.
You know what, though? We in podcasting, we say people come for the content and they stay for the host. And that's true with, especially true with YouTube videos. And I think that that's what really makes these so popular is you're engaging and you do a good job on editing these as well. There's a couple on there that are relevant for this time of year. And you did many of them on how to make Christmas gifts. I watched one or two of those this morning and they're relevant right now.
Yep. And I actually have a lot more coming up. I'm already planning what I'm going to be doing for the end of November, beginning of December. And I've got some really cool ideas that are super easy gifts that people can make for, you know, the equestrians in their world or for their horses, or would make good gifts for like someone at your barn or maybe your trainer.
Very cool. And we're going to post a link to this on our Facebook page as well. And then you also do one of the neat things about this and is you do go over a lot of different DIY stuff. What's been your most popular DIY video that you've done?
I was looking this morning and I guess you could consider it a DIY, but I painted my horse trailer with Rust-Oleum paint. And that one I put out like 2 years ago and I have like 11,000 views on it. So I'm like, that's not too bad.
How does it look? I've seen homemade horse trailers painted before and it didn't look very good. So I'm assuming you didn't use a roller.
It looks good. I did not. I used a brush. I used little quart cans of Rust-Oleum paint and I had primered it and then I sanded it down and then I just went really slowly and did small sections with the white high gloss Rust-Oleum paint. And the main reason I did it was I wanted to protect the trailer because it's a really, really old trailer, but it looks so much better than it did. If you get up really close, yes, it's not going to look like a horse trailer with a beautiful, you know, paint job, but from a distance, it looks like any other white horse trailer.
It does. I see it in some of the videos and it really does look like just a white horse trailer. So
see? Yeah.
Well, very good. This is very cool. Congratulations on your success with this. I think it's only going to grow from here. It kind of is unique. There's, as I said, in other niches, there are a lot of these kinds of videos, but you're kind of on your own here and have done a good job with it.
Thank you very much. It's so much fun. I love doing this.
All right. Give out the website again.
It's budgetequestrian.com.
And you can find a link to the YouTube videos and everything right on budgetequestrian.com. There's a lot of blog posts, too. And one of the nice things that she does is, in addition to the video, she also does a blog post, which really does, like when she's building a jump, it tells you exactly what you need as far as materials, how many boards, what size, all of that stuff's right in the blog post. So you're doing a good job of backing up the videos with the posts.
Oh, good. That's important, I think, because if you're building something like that, you're going, okay, well, I watched the video, but how long is this board? Well, how many do I need?
Right.
So I try to make sure that I get it covered.
Well, there you go, Jamie. Get to work building jumps. Just head on over to Budget Equestrian on YouTube and get that saw out.
No. I know she sounds like an amazing woman who can do things like that. I go, husband, can you watch this video, please, and make me this thing? Thank you.
Don't trust Jamie with saws. That's part of the problem.
I don't use power tools. It's a bad idea. I get hurt in just everyday living. So
very cool. Thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
All right. Take care. There are a ton of videos on here. I was just looking at all the different ones. a custom horse stall nameplates, and a lot of different Christmas ones on how to make DIY Christmas gifts, which are great
basically
when you have parties.
People that are like super crafty and good at building things and like doing things like that, you go.
Yep. Because we've always said that the only ones that don't have talent to come on this show is us. So
everybody else is like amazing with stuff. And I'm like, I'm over here going, wow, that's really cool. So anyway, somebody got coffee?
Yeah, that's
Can I get
right.
another coffee?
Well, let's do this. You had, we weren't around on Wednesday or Friday. Actually, we went to the Certified Horsemanship Association conference in Lexington, and we did our show live from there on Thursday morning, which was a lot of fun because we got to meet a lot of people, instructors from around the country that were guests on the shows over the years. So that was kind of neat to get to meet everybody. And then Jennifer went out and watched a whole day of clinics out at the horse park. We were out at the horse park, and
Who did you watch, Jennifer?
Well, we got to bring her back on. Let me see. Oh, I've lost Jennifer here. That was good timing to talk about that. Well, they were instructors that are part of the CHA, and they did various clinics on different things. And Jennifer, are you back with us?
I am.
So I was just telling everybody that we went out and you got to watch a day of clinics and got to watch them doing various things for the CHA on Friday at the little arena, at the old arena at the horse park, because the big arena was getting ready for the National Horse Show, which is going on right now.
Yeah, the competitors were just starting to move in as we left. But yes, I watched, I did the biomechanics where the instructor talked about how to use the biomechanics of the rider to teach certain skill sets, which was really interesting about how the different body parts relate to each other. And then I also watched one on using drills, as in drill team or quadrille if you're in the dressage world, to teach lessons and how those kinds of exercises can help improve certain aspects of your rider's skill set. So that was really cool. And I think my personal favorite was at lunchtime. They had New Vocations and the Maker's Mark Secretariat Center there at the horse park both come in and do demos about OTTBs.
Did you adopt a horse? Oh, my God. Did they have horses for adoption?
Unfortunately, somebody nabbed him before I could.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they had a really adorable one there, too. He was a cutie pie. So they just did little demos on how their programs work and helpful hints. They had some really good takeaways on things to do and not do with your off-the-track thoroughbred when you first get him in to kind of give you a head start. Here's some things that he already knows, and you can build on these things rather than fighting City Hall. Take the skill set that he already has and work with that. So that was really cool, too.
Oh, very nice.
So we did have a lot of fun with all of that, and then headed home. Now let's do this. We're going to do Equestrian First World Problems here in a minute. Did you want to do a song first?
Let's do a song, and then we'll come back because I realized that we missed two Fridays of Equestrian First World Problems. So to make them, because people kept posting them and posting them, I had to compile some and put them together.
People are posting them now on their own.
Unsolicited posting Equestrian First World Problems. So I took a collection. This is like 2-3 weeks worth of Equestrian First World Problems. So I of course have to edit them just a little bit to make them fit my little whiny voice. And other than that, I've got them coming up right after the song.
Want a guy who won't try to move too fast. Oh girl, it'd be a shame to take this slow. I've got an extra saddle and I know that you can handle the stallion waiting right down the road. We can run above hooves and crash like thunder, fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon from the desert blossoms down below, through the aspen and the sage, to the pine trees in the shade. We'll hide. Baby, let's ride. We'll be right back. entertained just sitting here watching you. Watching them just try to take you home. With all these guys surrounding you, like flies you ought to swat a few. If you wanna be alone, let's go. We can run above hooves that crash like thunder. It's fast and lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. We can ride to the head of the canyon from the desert blossoms down below. Through the aspen and the sage to the pine trees in the shade. We're high. Baby, let's ride. If the thrill of the adventure takes your breath away, if you're caught up with emotion you can't explain away, you can kiss me on the cheek and I will hold your hand. If it leads to something more, I will understand. Let's run above hooves and crash like thunder, fast as lightning flashing in our eyes. I think you know the spell you got me under. Let's ride. Canyon from the desert blossoms down below. Through the aspen and the sage to the pine trees in the shade. We're up high. Baby, let's ride.
That was Jared Rogerson with Let's Ride. You can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com or on iTunes. Just search for Jared Rogerson.
And this first one comes from Elizabeth. Oh my God, I've got an 8-hour drive tomorrow after Poe show jumping to catch my Monday afternoon flight out of Paris. I mean, let me again reiterate that if you have an equestrian first world problem, if you have an equestrian problem, it's first world. So, you know. We're just celebrating what is going on. And you know what? Honestly, I think some people needed to vent this week, Glenn, because some of these aren't even equestrian problems. They just want to complain. And they need a place to complain.
Christmas
and they
is
know
coming.
They're complaining about something first world. So they just had to throw it out here because they know this is what they sound like if they said it out loud. Oh, Kristen, my pepper garden was so prolific this year, and I have literally pounds and pounds of peppers sitting on the counter in need of dehydrating, and pounds more waiting to be picked. And I leave the Breeder's Cup on Wednesday, and so I have to get it all done. Ellen says the candy dish at work ran out of caramel creams.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Oh, thank God. I hate those things. Ugh.
Terry, I have to play golf for 3 days on my vacation, and every fairway looks like a gallop field. I feel you.
Speaking of which, did you play golf?
No, I walked while Chad played golf because the deal was he got to play. I got to Fox Hunt one day and then he had to come with me and then I had to go with him to play golf and it was beautiful. And it's one of the top 50 courses in the world, of course. And you go up and down these hills and in between all the little hills, there's grass, perfect galloping lanes, perfect. Galloping lanes and it like takes you up to the side of the beach and it just, I was like, this is such a waste.
Did I see pictures of somebody driving their pony in the water on the beach?
Glenn, Ireland is full of leprechauns and unicorns, okay? So I'm walking on the on this golf course, and of course we're at the edge of the, and we can see the cliffs of Moher from where we are, and down below, because it's low tide, there's people freaking driving their horses on the beach.
Oh, that's cool. That is so cool.
Like all of a sudden, some Pegasus is going to swoop out of the sky.
I wonder what Scooter would think of the ocean, Jennifer. I wonder how Scooter would feel about the ocean. He'd probably love it. He'd probably jump right in.
It was pretty amazing. It was just unbelievable. Another one, let's see. Carrie says, oh my God, I had to clip my Grand Prix horse today because I have a private dressage lesson with William Fox Pitt on Wednesday. Yeah, like, eat the hair in your mouth. I hate it, girl. Wait, hold on. What? Rebecca, I have to go somewhere and I have to drive my dirty car because the clean one I shampooed and the seats aren't dry yet. I'm sorry, you have two cars. Okay. First world problem.
Okay, I've never shampooed my seats. Have you?
Why would you do that?
I don't know. I was trying to figure it out.
Must be a really nice
You know what
car.
I was trying to picture is how you get that big thing you rent, the big shampooer at the store, onto the seats in the car. I couldn't figure that out.
No. Let me tell you something like this. Somebody who has two vehicles that's complaining about this paid somebody to shampoo.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
You've never done it because we pay people.
It's fine. It's never been done.
Desiree, I've woken up two mornings in a row where my hummingbird feeder has been tipped over. Robin says, oh God, my gooseneck with my living quarters is leaking and I can't figure out from where.
$70,000 gooseneck.
It's got a leak.
You had a first, well, you got to do yours first. You had a kind of a first world problem. I bet you didn't have the right kind of alcohol when you were sleeping in your first class apartment on the way over.
Oh my God, the flight was 7 hours and I had to sleep in a pod in first class. And tell you, the first world part of that is like, you can't sleep because everything is so amazing.
How did you get that done? I assume because Chad had connections.
Well, the American Airlines tickets that we had were tickets that they gave employees, you know, other companies profit share.
Oh, you get tickets.
American got, you get a ticket anywhere.
Well,
yeah,
I got one
free ticket.
I got to tell you, that looked pretty nice. You had like the complete living quarters right there in the plane.
First of all, there were slippers and there was a button.
You get to keep the slippers or is everybody wearing the same slippers?
Hell yeah, I kept my slippers. Oh, okay. And it came with a toiletry bag with like eye covers and earplugs. I kept that too. I pretty much stole everything.
Did you keep the Bose headphones or do they charge you for those if you take them?
They took those back.
Yeah.
They took those back because Bose noise canceling headphones and you push the button and it lays your chair down and there's a television that was like, oh my God, I have to crane my neck to watch the TV when I'm laying down. Oh wait, no, there's a button you push and it pops out right in front of your face.
Really?
And it's touchscreen.
Oh my God.
This is how other people live. So of course there's, you know, probably 20 of these pods in this airplane and everybody's like tucking in their items and putting things away and getting out their slippers and laying down and chatting. They're like, oh my God. You take my picture and then I'll take your picture while you pretend to sleep. Like the whole time they're like, can we get you something else? Yes! Whatever you have, bring it to me.
Did you like get real food, not just peanuts?
Oh my God! It was, they have a menu of courses that come to you, Glenn. Courses. First there was the quinoa salad that came out, and then there was this, and then there was it, and then they had like a personal like eggplant parmesan pasta dish coming for the vegetarians because of course there was like vegetarian food and then what would you like to drink with it? Want some wine? Sure. Okay. And like really nice wine. It's not like the box stuff that you pull the little tab and the wine comes out the bottom. This was like they had bottles of wine. It was unbelievable.
Did you actually sleep at all?
Oh God, no. There's too much to do. 9 hour flight. And I'm just like, it was like we were in a spaceship. And unfortunately, I didn't get one lick of sleep at all, but neither did Chad because we had so much cool stuff to do. And I'm like, consume more food and wine? Yes, please bring it to me. Everybody else, like the whole place is sleeping and Chad and I are like videoing. Oh my God. Okay, look over here. We're such nerds.
It okay, did look nice. I got to tell you, I'll never see that, but it looked really nice. It really did.
It was people walking by were like, oh my God. I was like, I know, right?
All those other business people in first class were like, would you shut the hell up? Go to sleep.
Okay, here's my first world problem. I'm trying to watch a movie, and this guy next to me is snoring so loud. He's snoring. Like, why would you miss this? Why would you miss this? Okay, couple more first world problems. Gina says, there's something weird with my Facebook app on my phone, and now it stops playing videos a few seconds in, and I have to tap the play button again. Eva says, the batteries on my pepper grinder just died, and now I have to manually twist the pepper grinder. And I just had to get out of my car and open the main door at my parking garage because the tag swiper thingy wouldn't work. Leslie says, I went to a tack shop today and I only got a turnout blanket, new pair of gloves, surcingle, and a saddle. Oh, but the gloves don't fit. Kendra, oh my God, you guys, our power was out for 17 hours and I had to haul water from my grandma's house for my 34 horses.
Oh my God. That's a lot of water.
34?
34.
That's a first world problem. Too many horses. And then Jessica says, and this one was just more of a funny story than a first world problem. It's kind of both. My husband eats turkey burgers for lunch every day and apparently decided sometime in the past week not to eat his and brought it home. And I just found them in the pantry. And as soon as I opened the door, a nasty wave of pure foul stink hit me and there was liquefied turkey burgers.
Okay, that kind of reminds me of our refrigerator that we had to get rid of. And we know exactly what that smells like.
Exactly. And finally, Lisa, I'm moving my horse to a new barn this week and only the bathroom is heated.
Well, at least there's that.
I love you guys. Y'all are my people.
Speaking of our people, we have Leslie from Horse Nation, Eventing Nation, and all the nations on here. Hi, Leslie.
Good morning.
Good morning, girl.
How's it going?
Good. Did you go to the premiere yesterday at Tryon of the movie?
I didn't. I know. I bet it was fun.
Oh, those girls were probably disappointed. They were all wanting you there in a ball gown.
Yeah. No, I had a soccer game yesterday.
Oh, well, priorities. I mean, there are priorities. Well, of course, we're talking about Wild Horses, which is the one that Devin Horn's in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll roll our way or become available to us somehow.
Well, we're going to have Evo, the producer, on very shortly on the show, so we'll find out. we're gonna have him on because they are premiering it also in New York at the film festival. So have you ever gone to that, by the way, Leslie?
I haven't. No.
I want to do that sometime. We got to go up together. Yeah. That'd be fun. Yeah. So Leslie is here, and we've been saving this, Leslie, till you got here. We've been teasing all morning about Jamie and her hunt in Ireland. So we wanted to wait for you so you guys could kind of compare notes, and we can see if she got as dirty as you did.
I know. I can't wait to hear the story.
I don't know if you can top. I mean, I don't know if you can top Lady Martha, but I'm gonna just do what I can here. So yeah, I'm in Ireland. We're in Galway, and Cooper's Hill Equine organized this fox hunt. Mm-hmm. And you know, my experience with fox hunting is I'm never a member, so you have to be last. I mm-hmm. swear to God, if I saw a hound, I didn't know because I was drunk, you know, half the time. And you're galloping along, jumping things. And yeah, I mean, fox hunting when you're in the very, very back of the pack is just kind of like that. Right, Leslie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
So this was a different experience for me. A car, again, Cooper's Hill Equine put all this together. And I get the message the night before that the car will pick me up at 9. Like the car. Yeah. They sent a limo to
what?
The middle of Galway and there's a driver and I'm in kind of like, I should have booked a nicer place to stay. if a limo is going to pick me up in the middle of the hood in Galway, and here I am, like, standing out in a parking lot in my boots and my breeches, my helmet under my arm, my hunt coat. I'm dressed like I'm ready for a dressage test, and the driver, like, in the limo, and I'm in the middle of kind of the shady part of Galway. Mm-hmm. So the driver's like, "Are you Jamie?" And I'm like, "Do you see anybody else in boots and breeches standing out in the middle of the road?" So he picks us up, and then he just starts driving, and the countryside is absolutely beautiful. And this is the first morning it has not rained in the whole time we've been there, which, of course, Chad and I loved it when it was raining because it was completely opposite of Arizona. Arizona is brown and dry, and the sun blinds you. And there it was cloudy, rainy, and lush green everywhere. So we are loving the rain. So the driver picks us up, and it's beautiful sunny morning, which was great because it was, I didn't want to get cold and whatever. And so they're driving us out, and he drives us in the middle of a forest and just stops the car. We're like looking around like, where exactly are we? And around the corner comes this giant U-Haul looking truck, just like a big U-Haul truck. It backs up towards our limo and we get out the car, and they let the back down, and there's three horses inside, and the front half is all the hounds. So they bring the horses out, tacked up, put the bridle on, and they're three of the most impressive looking horses, and you're going to get a little more of the background of them in the interview that I did with the masters. But they bring this 18 hand Irish draft Pinto monster. I'm 5'3" with my boots on, and they bring this horse down, and they look at me, and he's like, "Hey, here you go. It's the safest horse in Galway. His name is Paddington." Paddington Bear, the safest horse in Galway. Oh my God, he's so cute. And I'm like, how the hell am I going to get on? Okay. And these are all completely strange men that I've never met before. And they're like, "Want a leg?" And Chad's like, "I'll do it." And I was like, "What the hell? You've never one time in your entire life given me a leg up." But he's like, "I'll do it on an 18 hand Irish draft." "Okay, babe, I'm going to count to three. And when I count, I'm like, one, two." Ooh! I mean, mortifying. First, he chests me into the side of this 18 hand horse, right? And then I fall down to the ground. There are the masters of the hunt are standing around watching it.
Oh, no.
And he used me like, this man has never offered to give me a leg up in his entire life. I'm like, where is let me just get the back of the truck. He's like, "No, we can do this again." Of course, then throws me up and launches me to where my left ankle finally caught the saddle, and I was able to shimmy myself back into the tech. We're talking awesome, epic attempts. I'm like, "Babe, we need to work on that." And I get myself put together. I'm totally embarrassed, and I'm shortening my stirrups, and we get everything ready, and he kind of walks off. So that was horrifying. But I gotta tell you what, these are the most bomb-proofest horses on the planet. On the planet, Leslie Wiley. You think of something that would spook a horse, and it wouldn't. Okay, so we're actually not in open fields with the walls. They've decided, I didn't know, that the hunt hasn't actually started yet. Cooper's Hill just put me in with two masters. One is the horse master guy and the two masters of the hunt. And it's them two and me.
It was just the three of you? That's the way it looked in the pictures.
Just the three of us.
Oh, wow.
They don't know me from Adam. They don't know how I ride. They've put me on this 18-hand horse, and the master goes off with the hounds, the first guy, and I'm with Kevin, and the master takes off, and he's like, "Okay, right, what we have to do is we're going to gallop up this road, and we're going to turn, and we have to try to see where the fox is, because it's all woods, but it's cut with paths through the woods, and it's a walking trail and hunting trail, and apparently there's a million foxes that live in these woods." So what they're actually doing is they've taken the hounds out. Sorry, Jennifer just corrected me. That guy with the hounds is called the huntsman. I know. She's type that. It's a huntsman.
I'm enjoying this. Please keep going. I'm just enjoying the heck out of this.
A huntsman reminds me of Thor, and I just get all, you know, I couldn't
you get
say
all.
It.
Yeah, you get all swoony. I understand. Yeah, yeah.
And he was so cool. So the huntsman. I did learn some stuff. Like the hounds come in couples, and if there's one that comes up, it's a half. So I did learn that. Kevin was very patient answering all my questions. So the huntsman takes off with the hounds. And then this guy who doesn't know me at all goes, okay, right, let's go. And takes off. And there's no walls to jump. What we jumped was traffic barriers because they don't want cars coming in the woods. So they're just these giant yellow traffic arms sticking out that are metal and don't move. I didn't. And so he just takes a beep, boop, no warm up, no like chit chat. Okay, here's what's going to happen. Off we go. And he jumps this traffic barrier and gallops off. Well, I am on Paddington, the most bomb proof horse in Galway, the safest horse in Galway. Paddington sees his buddy take off. All 18 hands of Paddington goes, okay, well, we're going to gallop and jump. And 18 hands of Paddington jumps over the traffic barrier and lands and starts bucking like you read about. And I'm like, whoop, whoop. And Kevin ahead turns and goes, turns around at a gallop while Paddington is, you know, eyeballs between his knees. He goes, right, he's a bit fresh. So I stay on. We gallop down this lane. Then you have to like make a hard left turn and it's standstill because you're waiting to see if the fox crosses the path. Because the hounds immediately have gotten a scent because apparently this whole place has just hundreds and hundreds of foxes. To the point where they're actually a problem because there's so many that they get mange and they end up dying because there's not enough food. And the local farmers all have a problem with them because they raise sheep because there's sheep. Every 5 feet in Ireland is another sheep and they eat the lambs. They're kind of like the coyotes of Arizona. They're the foxes in this area in Ireland. So they're, of course, pulling for like, you know, we're going to get one because they've taken the young dogs out with the older dogs to train them because opening hunt is actually the following Sunday, which was yesterday. So I'm looking down one road. He's like, okay, keep looking there. And these horses go from gallop to stop and don't move a muscle. I remember being in America fox hunting, and when you had to stand still, you know, my horses were always jigging and tossing their heads and everything. Leslie, is that your experience when you have to stop, or does your horse stop?
Well, not with Princess. She's like, shh, we have to be very quiet. We're playing a game. I don't know what it is. So she's really good. But yeah, I mean, I've definitely ridden some jiggers too, which is no fun. Because you're like, how am I going to drink out of my, pass this flask around? And my horse is jigging all over the place. No good. Yeah. No bueno.
There was no drinking. No drinking. Actually, James told me not to drink. He goes, that's the way people break their ribs, is their flask is in their shirt. Oh, God. So when I fall off, my flask will dig into my rib cage and fracture them. Okay, thanks. So these horses gallop to stop, gallop to stop, gallop to stop, galloping through the forest. And you're on a small trail. Okay, I'm trying to paint a picture. It's kind of cloudy. We experienced every kind of weather in the 4 hours that I was on a horse, 4 hours of gallop and stop and jump. And rain and clouds and wind and cold and sun. It was in 4 hours. We saw everything Ireland has to offer weather-wise. So we're galloping through the forest. There's hounds everywhere zipping in and out of the woods. You're galloping past roll bales of hay wrapped in black plastic, trotting down main roads where tractors are driving past you at full speed on the wrong side, of course, cantering across bridges. Bridges, this did not happen once. This happened multiple times. We canter across a bridge that was concrete with no sides and a ravine down below. And the horses didn't even look. no has, and it's just me and Kevin, because we're trying to chase the huntsman who's got the hounds, and we're trying to be on the opposite side and flush whatever to whatever. I don't even know what the hell's going on, what we're doing. All I know is I'm galloping and stopping and galloping, and these horses don't spook, Leslie. It was unbelievable. My horse would have left Ireland and swam to the U.S. by the point we were at with these guys. It was unbelievable. The roads were wet, but the footing was great. The horse is expertly shot. Good weight, impeccably turned out. I'm on this paint that didn't have a spot of mud on him. But when you are galloping behind somebody, because I had to stay behind, can't pass the master, and you're on these like kind of gravelly roads, Paddington, my sweet angel, would have his head right on top of the master's horse's butt. And we're galloping and there's like legs everywhere. And so I kept going, Paddington, slow down, back off a little bit. And I realized that Paddington is smarter than me, because when you back off a little bit, you get rocks and mud in your face. Boom. I mean, completely. And so by the end, I think I got a rock to my front tooth. Thank God it didn't break. I had splatters of mud, because that was when I fought Paddington. Eventually, I just let go of the reins and just let him take me everywhere. He was so fantastic. And it was amazing. And this was, again, the Gralia Harriers. It was unreal. It was unreal. You just can't. And of course, Chad is on a four-wheeler with guys that I never knew this about fox hunting. Again, I've just kind of been drunk in the back of the pack. But I was with the masters and the hounds the whole time. And I saw things and they answered questions that I've never known before. And Jennifer and Leslie, do you guys have terriers on your hunts?
No.
We do not bring along the terriers. Most fox hunts in America don't.
Okay, thank you. I was like, I just thought there was two guys that wanted to tag along that really liked their dogs. And they were like, bringing them along. Because there's two little cages on the back, harriers on the back of these four-wheelers that had terrier, like Jack Russells in them. And I thought, well, that's bizarre to have. I'm like, I guess you want to bring your dog. Well, it turns out at one point we're standing on a road and I was like, hey, James, there's the fox. And he's trotting along and he comes down and he cuts in the woods. And James sees him at the last, or Kevin sees him at the last second. Sorry, Kevin sees him at the last second. He's like, oh, we got to call the huntsman and tell him where the fox turned. And so we go galloping up and he's like, where was it? I don't know, because now I realize they're about to bring the hounds onto this fox, and I was just
I was wondering about that.
This wasn't gonna happen. So I said, he went that way, you know, of course. No, he went this way. He's right there, you know. So Jamie found the fox. Bring the hounds. Oh, the huntsman comes with the hounds. The hounds take off after. The singing commences. It was amazing. And they take off and they couldn't get him. And then they re-got him and they're chasing him around and we're galloping towards the. And then the fox, they're like, hear the different tone that the hounds had singing. And they, he's gone to ground. I was like, oh, thank God he got away. Whew. No, Jamie, bring out the terriers.
That's what they're for.
Sorry, what? You mean those little cute things had a purpose? So the fox has gone to ground. So they're going to bring out the terriers. And they're like, Chad, grab the shovel. Let's go.
Oh, jeez. So
grab the shovel. And they take the terriers to where the fox has gone in a hole.
Yep.
And they put the terrier. Chad said it was, I didn't get to see this part because they were way off in some farmer's fields, which they couldn't bring the horses into. And the terriers dig down and go underground into the fox burrow. And he said you could hear them barking underground and they must have traveled 15 feet, he said. So they get to where the fox is underground and they start barking and they alert the people up above that are listening through the ground, and they alert them where the fox is. And then the shovels come out and everybody digs up the fox. And then the hounds, of course, are surrounding, like ready to like dispatch
the fox. And apparently, my fox got away.
I was just gonna say, is this the part where you fainted and fell off the horse?
Because they were like, Jamie, it's your fox they got. It's your fox. And I'm like, son of a, I got killed. It's all my fault. I'm the one who pointed him out. I shouldn't just let him go. But again, there's a reason that they fox hunt in this area, because it trains the hounds, but also because they have a massive overpopulation and they either starve to death. And, you know, when morons that deer hunt tell me, oh, I go deer hunting to cull the population, I'm like, really? You're culling the population. Does that mean that you're going out and hunting for the smallest, weakest ones? No. You're hunting the biggest, toughest, most proud looking ones. But you know what? They're only going to catch the weakest and the slowest foxes. So it's kind of like survival of the fittest. And I'm trying to like convince myself of this, you know, whatever. So the fox gets away. I said, yay! Because now at this point, they kind of know me. I'm like, he lives to hunt another day! Wonderful! And they said, we were going to try to get you the tail and have you take it home in your luggage. Oh my God! Thank God he got away. But it was absolutely amazing to see how the huntsman, the relationship with the hounds and the calls and the, because he had these different calls that he used at different times. And I've never been privy to seeing any of that. And Jennifer, I'm sure you have. Leslie, have you watched the huntsman from that close before?
Yeah. It's really cool.
That's the best part. If you get to ride up front and watch the hounds work, mm-hmm. whether you're on a live hunt or a drag, it is, I just love it. That's my favorite part. Absolutely my favorite part.
Well, I'd never done a live and I didn't know they put terriers underground to go and tattle on these poor foxes.
Go and tattle. But it's interesting that you commented about the sounds that the hounds make, because you're right. They don't bark like a regular dog. They really do sing, and I love it. I get goosebumps just talking about it.
Okay, well, you're going to love this interview then. I got to talk to Kevin, who I rode with, was very, very shy, and he wanted no part because he was helping me the whole time. And I go, just wait, let me get that on camera. And I would put the phone on and he would gallop off. Like, no part of being on the radio at all. So I talked to, like, it makes me think of Snow White and the Huntsman. The Huntsman was, you know, of course, Thor. So I talked to the huntsman. He did not look like Thor, but he was as adorable. So the interview you guys are going to love, Leslie, if you want to stick around and listen to it, it's about 7-8 minutes long, and it just kind of recaps the day. So at this point, I've dismounted Paddington and I didn't talk
voluntarily.
I voluntarily dismounted. However,
clarify that.
He's 18 hands and they laughed at me because I've been sitting on him for 4 hours.
Oh, geez.
And I had to dismount an 18 hand horse that I've been sitting on for 4 hours. And I believe Sierra started taking photos of me because I hung across him and shimmied ever so slowly again. The safest horse in Galway, because he did not move a muscle. He's probably used to people climbing so slowly down him. So I've put his, I've loosened his girths and I've put his halter on and I've handed him off and we've loaded him in the trailer and all the hounds are in the trailer and everybody's ready to go. So this is when that is happening and we're in the middle of the road, but again, we're in the middle of a forest. So here's the interview with the guys.
Okay. Why don't you introduce yourself?
So are we on?
We're on. We're recording.
Okay, so David Park is my name.
And pronounce this
Gralia Harriers.
Gralia Harriers. I couldn't remember how to pronounce it. And Kevin is over here, and Kevin and I rode together all day, and he's absolutely mortified to talk. It's just a phone.
I know it is, yeah. It's lovely. Lovely phone. Very nice.
So I guess to start with, when you saw me, what were your expectations for my hunt today?
You've joined us in the autumn hunting season, which is pre-hunting season. And this is when the young hounds come out with the older hounds to learn how to hunt the fox.
Okay.
So we have early mornings at this time of the year. Mm-hmm. And next Sunday is our opening meet, so we'll be going a little bit later. So we have visitors on a fairly regular basis, so we weren't shy to see you coming.
Okay.
And we love to see people coming, especially people from America.
Oh, really? You didn't... Was that true? Do you like Americans to hunt with you?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we've had... last year we had a great season from the Norfolk hunt.
Yeah.
It was about 12, 15?
Yeah, about 13 or 14 came in a group. Some are masters of different packs, and they all came, and they were here for about 10 days.
Oh, my gosh.
And we had a great time with them.
Yeah, they love
and, well, I tell you what, you guys have ruined fox hunting for me forever. I've retired unless I'm in Ireland hunting. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. We had a really busy morning, so we did. This forestry where we were today is called Munavé Forestry, and it's very well fox population, as you would have seen. So when we get here, we... very rarely have a blank day. There are normally lots of foxes for the hounds to hunt, and it's really good for some hunting.
Well, and you are the huntsman master. What's your title?
Senior master and huntsman.
Senior master.
Yeah, and Kevin is a giant master.
A giant master.
And there's three masters within this mastership for this season.
Okay.
Susan Oakes, who holds the side saddle world record, is our giant master as well, and she makes up the mastership.
Okay.
Unfortunately, she couldn't make it this morning, but if you come back another time, you may get to meet her. She's a really good...
I think we've actually interviewed her before.
Okay.
Very impressive.
Yeah, she really is.
Yeah.
Amazing. She really is. She actually was over in America last week for 10 days, and she had a day, 2 days with the myopia and 1 day with the Norfolk.
Norfolk, yep. Yes.
So she had a great time over there.
Yes, myopia, that's the one my producer used to hunt with, I guess. She was the...
Okay.
Somebody there. Hold on. Tractor going by. So if you were to grade my performance today, because everybody wanted me to, I mean, let's be honest, they wanted me to fall off and have some terrible story about like how a nightmare and I couldn't hang. But how did I do?
10 out of 10.
Ah!
You cannot be faulted for today's performance. In all fairness, you were up with the hounds when they were in full cry, and that's all you can, that's all you can be, you know, asked to do.
Plus you know, the fox.
I
got a great hunt on.
Yeah.
And you got to see them getting on to the fox, getting up on that bank and everything else.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I'm like, hey, there's a fox right there. And it trots off. And so Kevin and I go find it, and then we call you and bring you in. And then the hounds have the scent, and you've never heard, you don't hear a sound like this. It was the singing, and they just started singing, and they just lit off.
It's what we call when they go at full cry.
Full
and
cry.
It's, to us as masters, there's not a better sound in the world. Definitely.
Yeah. And then to see how the fox apparently went up a bank, and the hounds couldn't get up the bank, and this sounded so frustrated and sad.
But eventually they got up there. Eventually then they got on then again. Yes.
They did, and then they had to employ Chad to come with the shovel, my husband. And what happens at the end? I'd never seen terriers. You know what? Honestly, every time I've hunted, I've been so far in the back, I never knew what was going on, probably drunk too. So what was going on at the end there?
The fox had gone to ground, which is the fox has gone into his den. And the area where we finished there, which is where they had gone to ground, you would have seen some sheep. And the farmers in that area would like us to keep the foxes under control. So the intention this morning was to send a terrier in to locate the fox, and then the terrier man would dig down to the fox. And the fox would be humanely dispatched in the den, and that's what would have happened. But to this morning, the fox actually, when the terrier went down, the fox bolted out a back door and he got away.
He lives to hunt another day.
Yeah. That's Jamie's fox. That's the fox Jamie viewed.
I know. I felt so bad. They were like, they're killing your fox. I was like, I should have been like, he went that way. Not that way, that way.
Yeah,
so, you can't fool those hounds, though.
No fooling those hounds.
But I appreciate it, and I thank you so much for taking me along and putting up with me. And
It was a pleasure. Yeah, you must come over again.
About the hounds and everything. And couples and halves and the whole lot.
He educated me the whole time.
Good man, Kev.
And so I heard the home
like the three,
going
home.
Yes. Yeah.
Because on the horn there are several notes. Yes. And the last one there is when I blew for going home, yeah.
That's
in
when...
a long, mournful toot on the horn.
Yes, and it was also, my horse knew quite clearly what that was because he was like, let's go!
Yeah, and trotted back to the lorry.
What did you think of the horses?
Oh my gosh, now the horse I was on, his name was Paddington, and you came up. When you handed him to me first thing this morning, you said, the safest horse in Galway. And that asshole tried to buck me off immediately over the barrier.
Really? The rascal.
The rouge of the barrier. Then we did over this one. Next thing.
Okay.
All I can see is Jamie coming bucking down the track after jumping a barrier, a steel barrier.
So what? I think I had thought we were going to be jumping walls, but we jumped like traffic barriers.
Yes, that's what they are.
Hunting in the forest.
Yeah, because, I mean, it hasn't opened. Sunday now, you'll be out in the country in the open, jumping the stone walls.
That's okay. That was great jumping, especially after he was a rascal like that. I was like, okay,
you have to come back for a day when we are out in the walls.
Yes.
I would love to.
You get a lot more jumping in.
Yeah, I guess I passed since you're inviting me back, so that's good. Yeah. And I would like to thank Cooper's Hill Equine for putting this all together. I wouldn't be here without them. So
that's good.
They're amazing. If you guys want to do something like this, please check it out. Now, real quick about your horse. You were on this horse that is so spectacular and stunning. I could not take my eyes off of him. And it turns out he's a Puissance horse.
He's owned by Susan Oakes, who's one of our masters. Right. And last year he won the Puissance at the RDS, which is a 5-star show in Ireland. Proper big international show, and this last summer he has retired from that, so he's now going to be my new hunt horse for this season anyway. So he's going to be the huntsman's horse.
Oh my gosh,
which is great.
He was amazing. And then your horse,
Barnaboy Maggie,
was you heard sire was a is a 3-star horse.
Barnaby Freeman, he's a 3-star event horse. Yes.
So you're on a Puissance horse, and you're on an event horse, and I'm on Paddington.
You're the rascal.
I'm on the dude horse of the string, okay? Yeah. Like, he was like, I'm not supposed to go in the front until we were going home. And he was like, nope, I heard the call.
Yeah, I don't want to go.
Well, thank you guys so very much. I appreciate it. And it's been an absolute, like I said, I'm retiring my fox hunting because nothing can top today. So we appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, Leslie, would you please tell Jamie what happens if they had caught the fox?
No.
So what would happen?
I politely declined that request.
Okay, well, I'll tell her because I like torturing her. So if they had caught the fox, it's what's called being blooded, which means they actually take some of the blood from the fox and they smear it on your face.
Ugh. They'd have to catch me in Paddington first. Paddington, you want to go home, buddy? Let's do it.
So you can be glad that fox ran out the other side. They were great. It looks like, wow, they set up, Cooper's Hill set up such a cool experience for you.
It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And just the hunting and the experience of the galloping through the woods and on these horses that just, I mean, when you are riding a horse and your adrenaline gets up and you get nervous and you get scared, what does your horse do? It gets nervous and scared, right? And you see something off the, oh my God, my horse is going to spook at that. He's going to spook at that. Well, your horse spooks at it because your adrenaline and they synchronize to you. Not Paddington. He didn't care what I was doing. He was going to do his thing. He did not once. I mean, I was like, oh my God, we're going to gallop over the concrete bridge with nothing on the sides. He could slip, he could fall, and he just canters along it like it's no big deal. Galloping down these roads and the footing and nothing fazed him.
You didn't kick him,
nothing
right?
Nothing bothered. Oh, there was no need. I just sat there. Again, I learned not to even touch his face. Don't even pull him because he knows the better place to be. And then I thought, I'm going to really pull him really far back and let him gallop off and let the dirt clods land before we get up to them. Paddington was having none of that. He was like, that is not what we do. You will come up to the front. And he absolutely ran away with me and took me into and ran away with me up to where the other horse was. And then he slowed down. He's like, you have no say in what is going on here today.
So do you are you jealous that she didn't fall off? Were you wishing she'd get dirty, Leslie?
No. I'm glad to take that hit for the team.
Poor sisters. Fall. Nobody wants their sisters to have a rotational fall.
No.
No, it was awesome. If you Sierra at the end said, she goes, see, anybody can do this. And I thought, I'm not 100% sure that that's true, because you have to be able to stick on gallop, stop. The in-between, nothing happened. It was just absolutely awesome. And the horse just, they have horses that just take care of you. And I couldn't say enough about it. I want to go back. I want to jump the walls.
Yeah, I'm not sure that statement, anybody could do this. I don't see me getting on and staying on that horse.
That's exactly what I thought of. I was like, I don't see Glenn doing
this. No, I don't see me staying on that horse. Or Chad, for that matter.
Yeah. No, that he was more than happy to ride the back of the four-wheeler.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I didn't get blood smeared on my face. So we're, but
you would have passed out. She would have so passed out. That would have been it.
It would have been warm. Why would you end with that? Anyway, it was amazing. And the huntsman and the masters, I'm learning so much.
And there are pictures, Jamie will post some pictures on the Horses in the Morning Facebook page as well. Does that make you want to go hunting, Leslie?
Yes. Oh, man. Bucket list. Irish fox hunting.
Well, that's terrific. Well, thank you, Jamie, for the good recounting of the story. We're glad you had fun. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us for that. We appreciate it. And of course, Leslie can be found at Horse Nation and Eventing Nation. Lots of things going on in the eventing world. There's lots of articles up there. Mm-hmm. That Poe was over the weekend and the Virginia horse trial. There's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, we were in the thick of it.
Okay, so the important question of the day, Leslie, is did you win the soccer game?
No.
Okay.
Unfortunately not.
See, that was supposed to be a yes. I was really expecting a yes on that one.
Glory in the attempt.
All right. Very good. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Leslie.
Okay. Bye, talk guys. Again.
Bye.
Well, tomorrow we have a very special episode for everybody that actually Horse Nation is responsible for helping to put together, and we're going to be doing a Halloween episode. We have a special Halloween episode for you tomorrow. We will be live, and we have Kristen from Horse Nation joining us. She's going to co-host. What happened is they did a writing contest and for Halloween kind of spooky horse stories, so they picked the top five winners, and I think there's a total of seven stories because a couple of the writers, Kristen did one and a couple of the writers did one. So we're going to read them. Jamie's going to read a couple. We're going to get Jennifer to read. We're going to have everybody read some, and we're going to play them for you tomorrow morning. So it's all Halloween here on the show tomorrow. It should be a lot of fun, and you'll get to hear the creativity. Some of them are auditors. I saw the names in there. Some of our auditors have their stories being read, but I think that sounds like fun, doesn't it?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. And you know what is also better about reading these stories is that I didn't have to write it. Number one, I didn't have to experience it. I just get to read it. I didn't have to watch a scary movie. I didn't have to think of
scary stories. Well, I know how much you like scary movies, so I'm going to give you the two scariest, okay?
Don't do it, please. Give me the one you're like, "Oh, that was cute."
Oh, that was cute. That's cute story. That was a funny story.
Oh, well, I'd never read cute that one.
All right, very good, everybody. So we'll see you tomorrow morning. We have a whole week of shows for you here. It's good to be back. Thank you, Jamie.
Spay, neuter, and gal. Bye.